Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, March 18th, 2023. Space Simulations Coming to Midland by Ben Schaefer. Midlanders will soon be able to experience an astronaut's voyage at Midland Air and Spaceport. On Thursday, space tourism company Space Nation announced their partnership with Midland-headquartered Kepler Aerospace, Space Nation's mission for future astronauts, teams, leaders, and adventure travelers are space simulations on Earth, according to a press release. The first astronaut-led pilot mission is planned to start on April 28th at Midland Air and Spaceport, according to the press release. Space Nation is the first space travel company to become a member of the World Tourism Organization in a national official partner of NASA. In the past, the company has organized astronaut-led expeditions in Iceland at the training grounds of Neil Armstrong, and in 2018, they launched a global astronaut training app that over 50,000 people used for training their physical, mental, and social abilities, the press release states. Space Nation will build their missions around the Kepler Aerospace High Altitude Chamber Complex for enhanced experience. This partnership is not your typical one, but it makes perfect sense for us. The Cal Balakala captain and co-founder of Space Nation, Brent Nelson, CEO of Kepler Aerospace, added, "We have been focused on developing advanced energy and propulsion technologies that can be used in space. This partnership with Space Nation will allow us to showcase and test our technologies uniquely and engagingly." Kepler Aerospace is located at the Midland Air and Spaceport. Space Nation, according to a press release, is one of the newest additions to the growing local space ecosystem, which is situated in the heart of West Texas, a global center of gravity for human spaceflight. The press release states that Midland's location is perfect to serve a center of space activity. Midland connects the resourcefulness of pioneers, the boldness of wildcatters, and the ingenuity of the oil and gas industry in a unique way. These skills and attitudes build the modern world and will build our future cities and industries in space. As Midland once was the pathway to the western expansion of the United States, it will now be the pathway to humanity's expansion to space, making Midland one-of-a-kind place on Earth, Baha Jacola said in a press release. Oil prices have worse weeks since April 2020. Banking turmoil rattles oil markets, prices down 13% by Mella McEwen. Crude prices this week may have brought back unpleasant memories of a day in April 2020 when crude futures plunged to a negative $38 per barrel. The banking turmoil that began with last week's failure of Silicon Valley Bank rattled oil markets, sending prices down 13% for their worst week loss since April 2020. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange fell 4 of 5 trading days, opening the trading week with a $1.88 decline, followed by a $3.47 fall Tuesday and a $3.72 drop Wednesday. An attempted rebound Thursday failed to gain traction as prices fell another $1.61 Friday to close the week at $66.74. The posted price ended the week at $63.22, according to Plains All-American. Natural gas prices followed a similar path on the NYMEX, falling 3 of 5 trading days. Henry Hub futures started the trading week with an 18-cent gain that was almost completely erased Wednesday with a 13-cent fall. Prices fell an additional 17.6 cents Friday to end the week at 2,338% MCF. Oil prices are down almost 13% this week as concerns of a banking crisis increases risk of a slowing economy. Mickey Cargill of Cargill Investment Management Incorporated told the Reporter Telegram by email, "If banks tighten lending policies due to higher levels of supervision, then demand for oil could be less than expected in recession." Thursday saw reprieve from the decline as bank rescue plans developed, but the decline resumed Friday. "If this week is a bank crisis specific to a few banks, then look for higher prices from a panic sell-off. However, if the bank crisis turns out to be more systemic, then the trend might continue lower on the short term." In his daily newsletter, Edward Moya, senior market analyst, the Americas at Oanda, said the banking turmoil and rising fears the Federal Reserve's rate hiking cycle is starting to take down the economy were pressuring oil prices. "It seems that the oil bump that we got earlier in the month from China's reopening was premature. Clearly, China's recovery still needs more support as the People's Bank of China cut the reserve requirement ratio for all banks in a move to stimulate the economy," he wrote. Moya added that energy traders were waiting for some announcements about refilling the strategic petroleum reserve once WTI broke below the $70 level, but that is not happening because a severe recession could send oil closer to the $60 level. He noted that Special Presidential Coordinator for Global Infrastructure and Energy Security, Hochstein, is determined to access what happens with oil markets before rushing to fill up the SPR. He concluded energy traders are not sure what could be the catalyst to send oil prices higher, given all the doom and gloom happening with short-term crude demand outlooks. "The Fed's forecast will closely be watched, as that will signal if we are at a greater risk of a policy mistake. For now, oil will remain heavy as traders try to figure out what type of recession policymakers will trigger in the U.S. Report: Toya Without Safe Drinking Water Since 2018 by Sana Amir. Residents of the small town of Toya in West Texas have been living without access to safe drinking water for nearly 5 years. A new report from the Inside Climate News at Marfa Public Radio, published in mid-March, details the years of negligence from city and state officials who did almost nothing to resolve the hundreds of drinking water violations filed against the town. Less than 100 people currently live in Toya, and the town gets its drinking water supply from a nearby lake. For years, the Texas Commission of Environmental Quality cited the town's water treatment plant for violations. In 2016, Toya received a $200,000 grant for improvements. But it wasn't enough, the report said. A bypass was installed in 2017 to reroute the untreated water around the plant. In 2018, routine testing found E. coli in Toya's water, causing the city to issue a boil water notice. The boil water notice has remained in effect since then until today. Although a state inspection occurred shortly after the boil water notice, the action is still lacking. City leaders failed to hire properly licensed water treatment plant operators, missed grant opportunities, and installed improper bypasses and pipe connections at the plant, the report said, adding that TCEQ also went years allowing the town to remain out of compliance with the many violations. Toya's current mayor has also dismissed concerns, saying he has seen the water being tested and currently drinks it himself. In September of 2022, TCEQ finally asked the Texas Attorney General to bring a civil suit against Toya, placing the public water utility in a receivership. Improvements are currently underway thanks to the lawsuit, but other problems like finding a more cost-effective water supply and hiring licensed water operators still persist. "People have to actually figure out how are we going to get the water to this community," said Kelly Harrigan, director of the Environmental Clinic at the University of Texas Law School, who helped local leaders bring awareness to the town's water concerns. 4 years after the boil water notice, Reeves County has started infrequently distributing water bottles to its residents, but not many accept them. Some do choose to drink from the town's water supply, while others are still wary.
Fabulous Women of Midland founder keynotes luncheon. Shauna Garcia, founder of Fabulous Women of Midland, was the guest speaker for the Uptown Midland Business and Professional Women March Program Luncheon. Her speech, entitled Overcoming and Uniting, focused on her journey of self-discovery, awareness, and giving back to the community through donations to nonprofits. Visit https://midlandbpw.com for more information about BPW and membership. Hillcrest Barbecue Team, bringing titles back to Midland. The Hillcrest School Eagle Q Barbecue Team won the Grand Champion Reserve title on February 25th in the Big Lake Barbecue Competition. 20 teams competed with entries in ribs, brisket, chicken, beans, and dessert. Eagle Q placed second in brisket, third in ribs, third in chicken, and placed in beans, securing Hillcrest as the Grand Champion Reserve winner. MCS hosts Protect Young Eye event. Midland Christian hosted Protect Young Eyes on March 6th through 7th. The event catered to both parents and students, according to MCS. A speaker with Protect Young Eyes discussed the current digital culture and how parents and students can better protect themselves from online activity that may be harmful. They also spoke to the students about what to do with things they may see on their devices that are unhealthy and how to talk to their parents when they do. Our kids are faced with the dangers of technology every day, and Protect Young Eyes gives parents the resources to have conversations with their students about how to handle technology appropriately, MCS said in a press release. Supervised children are protected. If you can't be with them all the time, please find an alternative way to keep them safe. By Eliel Rosa. The year was 2010. My oldest son was 12 years old. My wife and I were finally able to give him his dream bicycle as a birthday present. He was so happy. However, that joy was shattered 2 days later. On a Sunday after lunch, he gets back home after carelessly riding his adored bike for a while, sobbing like I had never seen before. The bike is gone. "This guy just stole it from me," he explodes. "He took me to an empty lot and threatened to come after me if I ever told anyone what happened." A good Christian friend, also a police officer, picked us up in his patrol car and drove around the area to allow my son to try to stop either that guy or his bike. After over 1 hour and no sign of both, he dropped us back home. His warning to us parents freezes my heart every single time I think about it. Be grateful to the Lord, because these people are not so much interested in bikes as they are in children they steal them from. The year now is 2023. I drove to FedEx on Loop 250 this morning for some photocopies of personal documents. When I got back home, I noticed that I had left my wife's and my driver's license inside of the photocopying machine. I immediately jumped back in the car and drove there while asking the Lord to please keep them where they are. As I drive past Ernie Johnson Field, Legacy Senior High School, I spot a very young boy in rollerblades with a huge backpack and wearing a protection helmet. As this is spring break week, of course, the school's parking lot was absolutely empty. I slowed down and saw two adults in the football soccer field. I thought to myself, well, this boy is certainly with them. So I kept driving on Godfrey and headed back to FedEx. After picking up the documents I had left there, thank God they were exactly where I had left them, I turned on Godfrey again out of Wadley, and there the boy is once again, almost in the exact same spot I had seen him on my way to FedEx. The adults were not there anymore. When I drove closer to him, he's crying like crazy. I pull over and head toward him. Now all I have in my mind is how critical it is here in America for an adult to approach and engage in a conversation with an unaccompanied child. But his condition was so disturbing that I allowed my emotions to overcome my intellect. The last time I let this happen, not too long ago, the experience was so devastating that I promised myself that I would not allow that to ever occur again in my life. My father's impetus kicked in. That red flag perception dropped a ton of adrenaline in my veins. Most of all, that memory from 13 years ago concerning my son's utter impotence against an adult predator wired me up in such a way that I didn't even think about the consequences of what I was about to do. I tried to calm him down and told him that although I knew his parents had certainly taught him not to engage in a conversation with a stranger, let alone enter anybody's car, that was a grave situation, and I promised that I would drive him home. He calmed down a little bit and pointed me to his home address and told me that he was heading to his friend's home to the afternoon there when he lost his phone. His father and mother were working, but his mom was tracking him down through an app and also by calling him from time to time. He was freaking out exactly because he knew his mother was trying to call, but now he had totally lost connection with her. As we park in front of his home, his mother's car pulls over just 10 seconds later. I felt such a relief. He ran toward her, hugged her tight, and now cried profusely. I explained to her what had happened, step by step. I gave her my address and made myself available to help them find the boy's phone. She said she could track it down with the app. What's my objective in recording these two traumatic personal experiences on the pages of MRT? And I'm so grateful they allowed me to do it. I sincerely wish to warn parents that Midland is not, anymore, the small, peaceful town it used to be in the past. I hear many stories from people who have been living here for 5-6 decades about how the city has been changing so dramatically and rapidly. For instance, in one of the latest massive law enforcement operations to rescue children from the cruel hands of human traffickers, Operation Lost Souls, 40 of the rescued children had been taken from the Midland-Odessa area. Last year, former Mayor Patrick Payton interviewed the director and founder of Reflection Ministries on his podcast, pointing out that she was awakened to the issue of human trafficking through her personal experience. She affirmed that children are usually kidnapped in very early age, aimed at being used and abused by the sex trafficking industry, now worth $150 billion in the U.S. Parents, please listen to the humble plea of this father who came very close to losing his young son. Do not allow your small kids to go out unsupervised. If you cannot be with them all the time, for the obvious reason that you are working, please find an alternative way to keep them safe with adults you can trust. There should be no more precious treasure in this city than our children. Let us unite and act accordingly. Tips for Developing a Healthy Lawn by Jeff Floyd. A healthy lawn increases wildlife diversity, provides space for family recreation, and has a positive impact on your mood. Mowing grass is a straightforward activity, but a few simple steps will guarantee that your lawn is appealing, robust, and effortless to maintain. In full sun, warm season grasses such as Bermuda and Zoysia are best maintained at about 2 inches tall. St. Augustine does better when it is cut at 3 to 4 inches. Cool season species like tall fescue also perform well at heights between 3 and 4 inches. Instead of bagging when you mow, try mulching. Catching the grass may feel cleaner, but it's a lot of extra work and removes a valuable resource from your lawn. When mowed at the correct height, clippings will break down easily and return nutrients to the soil. This will reduce your overall fertilizer needs. While the leaf blades are the energy factories of each turf grass plant, more is not always better. When allowed to go too long between each mowing, lawn grasses become spindly and less uniform in appearance. Excessively tall grass also becomes more difficult to mow and leaves behind unsightly clippings on the surface. Ideally, no more than one-third of the leaf blade should be removed at any single mowing. Mowing too low may cause your lawn to become stressed and more easily susceptible to disease and pest problems. Scalping or mowing excessively low can damage the growing point of grass and cause permanent injury. Mow regularly to avoid cutting too low. When possible, a 5-day mowing cycle during the growing season produces the best results. However, mowing at least once per week is more practical and perfectly fine in most situations. Cut the lawn with a powerful mower. A high RPM engine will spin the blade of a rotary mower fast enough to properly shear the grass. On the other hand, weak mowers tend to hammer grass blades, often injuring them and leaving a less uniform cut. Mowers with inadequate power are more exhausting for the user too. Finally, always maintain a sharp mower blade. A dull blade tears the tips of grass leaves. The leaf tips will dry out around the jagged edges a few days after mowing, and the lawn will take on a dull finish. The increased surface areas on the torn tips of leaves also become locations for diseases to invade. Former MC student advances vital transit research by Rebecca Bell. In August 2022, Midland College received an online donation to the Chaparral Circle Endowment Fund Court of Honor from Jacob Thompson with the following note. I just want to express my gratitude to Midland College and everything y'all do. MC is where it all started for me, and while I never obtained a degree there, I am still proud of my time at MC, and I wouldn't be where I am today. 10 years and 2 master's degrees later, I'm hoping to land a job at a top research university in the Northeast. As it turned out, in December 2022, just a few months after he wrote that note, Thompson did land a research position. He is now working at the Allen M. Voorhees Transportation Center, which is part of the Edward J. Blaustein School of Planning and Public Policy at Rutgers University. VTC is a national leader in the research and development of innovative transportation policy and has a full array of resources on transportation issues of regional and national significance. The center includes the National Transit Institute, which was created by Congress in 1992 to design and deliver training and education programs for the U.S. transit industry. Thompson's specialty is bike and pedestrian safety, and his job entails a variety of responsibilities. One of my first major tasks is helping to write a policy recommendation for SRTS's Safe Routes to School, expansion to include high school students, Thompson explained. SRTS is a U.S. Department of Transportation program that promotes walking and bicycling to school through infrastructure, improvements, enforcements, tools, safety education, and incentives. We help transportation departments, metropolitan planning organizations, local governments, and school districts plan and implement SRTS programs within 2 miles of schools where school districts don't provide bus transportation. Thompson's interest in pedestrian and bicycle safety started at an early age. He was born in Austin. However, he moved to Italy with his mother, an Italian native stepfather, when he was 7. He attended Italian public schools in Turin in northern Italy from second grade through his sophomore year in high school, and like many Europeans, his family relied on walking, cycling, and public transportation. I moved back to Austin when I was in high school, and I remember thinking how odd it was that every family had at least 2 cars, Thompson recalled. After graduating from Lake Travis High School in 2009, Thompson went on vacation in Italy, and in a rare instance when he was actually in a car in Italy, he was involved in a serious automobile accident that left him with numerous broken bones and internal injuries. He was in a coma for 2 months and in the hospital for 7 months. After being released from the hospital, he underwent over a year of physical therapy in Italy. At that point, I really had no idea what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, he said. I wanted to move back to the United States, but didn't know where. I had relatives in Midland, and they encouraged me to go to Midland and take classes at Midland College. So I did, and that was the beginning of my higher education journey that has led me to where I am today. Thompson attended Midland College from July 2012 to May 2013, and then transferred to the University of Oregon, where he obtained a bachelor's degree in Romance Languages and General Social Sciences in 2016. From 2017 to 2019, he attended the University of Delaware and earned a master's degree in Urban Affairs and Public Policy. Thompson then worked in the Philadelphia area for the Lower Merion School District, serving as a member of the instructional support staff and a substitute teacher, mainly in special education courses. It wasn't long before Thompson was back taking classes, this time at Rutgers, working on a master's degree in city and regional planning, which he obtained in 2021. Between June 2021 and November 2022, he worked for the Greater Mercer Transportation Management Association, a nonprofit public-private partnership dedicated to promoting and providing transportation choices that are designed to reduce congestion, improve mobility, increase safety, and further sustainability in Mercer and Ocean County, New Jersey. That job really helped prepare me for my current position, Thompson said. In addition to the SRTS work that I'm doing, I'm also a part of two teams. One is working on developing a community vision plan, and the other is organizing and conducting a series of community visioning workshops in New York State. Another project that I'm very excited about is assisting the executive director and two other colleagues to develop and teach a graduate studio course where students must complete a project that includes planning a city where residents are within a 15-minute walk or bike ride from all the services they need. Thompson doesn't just plan for others to walk and bike ride. He practices what he preaches and said that he used to bike to his previous job, but now can walk to work. He also participates in fundraising bike rides. One of his most recent bike rides was a 2-day ride from New York to Philadelphia via the East Coast Greenway, a 3,000-mile pedestrian and bicycle route that extends from Maine to Florida. Its goal is for the entire route to use off-road, shared-use paths. Currently, more than 1,000 miles of the route meets this criterion. Thompson also enjoys cooking, reading, mainly horror and science fiction, and occasionally playing video games. He and his girlfriend watch Jeopardy every day, and he is an aspiring Jeopardy champion. He said that he is also a huge college football fan. His favorite Big 12 team is Texas Tech. However, his all-time favorite team is his alma mater, the University of Oregon. He is planning a trip back to West Texas in September when Texas Tech plays Oregon in Lubbock. My relatives in Midland are all Texas Tech fans, so we will have some friendly family rivalry going on that weekend, he said. Rebecca Bell is the Executive Director of Institutional Advancement at Midland College.
Obituaries. Carolyn Jean Pittman, 81, passed away on March 6, 2023 in San Antonio Hospital after a lengthy illness. A memorial service will be held Friday, March 31, 2023 at 2 p.m. at St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Kerrville. Memorials may be given to St. Peter's Episcopal Church, 320 St. Peter Street, Kerrville, Texas, 78028, or to Hill County Youth Ranch, P.O. Box, 67 Ingram, Texas, 78025-0067. Condolences may be sent to GrimesFuneralChapels.com. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Grimes Funeral Chapels of Kerrville. Donald Raymond Craig, 92 of Midland, was called home by the Lord on December 18, 2022. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials to the nonprofit Manor Park, Inc., 2208 North Loop 250 West, Midland, Texas, 79707, or Christ Church Anglican, 5501 North Midkiff Road, Midland, Texas, 79705. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Marilyn McBride Culp, pioneer, entrepreneur, teacher, banker, and loving wife and mother. Marilyn McBride Culp died peacefully with her family by her side on Saturday, March 4, 2023. The family would like to extend special thanks to the wonderful caregivers at Brookdale Northwest in Austin and Arbor House in Marble Falls and the gentle nurses of Comforts of Home Hospice. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that contributions in memory of Marilyn McBride Culp be made to the Alzheimer's Association or the National Multiple Sclerosis Society of your choice. Marilyn Ann Miller Philpi. Marilyn Ann, 98, passed away peacefully in Cowden Cottage at Manor Park on Sunday, January 15, 2023. A memorial service will be held at 4 p.m. on March 18, 2023, her 99th birthday, at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity. In lieu of flowers, please send a memorial gift to the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, 1412 West Illinois, Millen, Texas, 79707. Michael Dale and Carolyn Ann Cropper of Midland, Texas, will be laid to rest at Rest Haven Memorial Park on Saturday, May 20th, 2023, at 1 p.m. For memorials in lieu of flowers or gifts, please consider donating to one of the following charities: Midland YMCA at 800 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79701, or COM Aquatics, 3003 North A Street, Midland, Texas, 79705, Ellis Rest Haven Memorial Park. Rudy Hernandez, age 42, passed away in Midland, Texas, at Midland Memorial Hospital on March 12, 2023. A viewing will be Monday, March 20th, 2023, from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Funeral service will be Tuesday, March 21st, 2023, at 2 p.m. Burial will be followed at Serenity Memorial Cemetery. Sylvia Whitaker Hampton was born May 25th, 1929, in Lubbock, Texas, and joined her Heavenly Father on March 13th, 2023, in Fort Worth, Texas, surrounded by her loving family. In lieu of flowers, the family asked that donations be made to Community Hospice, the Humane Society, Guide Dogs of Texas, or the charity of your choice. A celebration of Seal's life will be held at Watermark at Broadway City View in the Parlor on Wednesday, March 22, 2023, at 10:30 a.m. A celebration of life will also be held in Vallecito, Colorado, this summer.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I will be reading the Odessa American from Saturday, March 18th, 2023. This will cover the national, state, and local news. Lewis hires attorney, accuses board member of libel. Longtime Odessa businessman calls for bullying to stop by Kim Smith. For the second time this year, Tim Harry, an appointed member of multiple City of Odessa boards, has been issued a cease and desist letter for remarks he has posted on Facebook. Retired businessman and Dos Amigos founder Ronnie Lewis hired local attorney Gavin Norris to send Harry the letter after Harry alleged Lewis is a drug dealer during a March 5th discussion on the Odessa Accountability Project's Facebook page. The OAP posted a Midland Reporter Telegram editorial written by Mayor Javier Hoven that Harry commented on. Lewis tagged him and asked him if he'd silence your precinct or will you let voters in your precinct have a choice for Ector County Republican Party chair. Harry responded with the following: I wouldn't sign your petition to run for dog catcher. I'm not a fan of drug dealers. In the cease and desist letter sent to Harry on Lewis's behalf, Norris demanded Harry stop publishing false and defamatory statements on social media regarding Lewis. Norris noted Lewis is not and has never been a drug dealer. Harry, who refused service of a certified letter Thursday afternoon, did not respond to a text seeking comment. Norris further accused Harry of intentionally publishing libel statements on the public social media forum. Are statements intended to injure Ronnie Lewis's reputation and thereby expose Ronnie Lewis to public hatred or contempt or ridicule, or financial injury, or to impeach Ronnie Lewis's honesty, integrity, virtue, or reputation? Norris gave Harry 30 days to retract, correct, or clarify his statements, or risk facing court actions that could include punitive damages. Lewis said he is tired of the bullying tactics of Harry and others, including elected officials and those who hold local GOP positions. He has long charged that they bully and belittle Odessans via Facebook, often on phony profiles like that of Finnegan Lane and Josiah Vargas, which were two accounts written about by the OA several months ago. Both accounts continue to post on Facebook. Norris sent Harry another cease and desist letter earlier this year on his own behalf. He, too, asked for a retraction within 30 days. Shortly after the Odessa City Council voted to fire City Manager Michael Marrero and City Attorney Natasha Brooks, there were several Facebook exchanges between Odessa Development Corporation Chairman Chris Crow, Norris, a person going by the name of Josiah Vargas, and Harry about the lawsuit Norris filed claiming Hoven violated open meetings law. On January 4th, Harry wrote the following statement about Norris on Facebook. He has also left clients in a lurch with no representation in the courtroom after being held in contempt over his temper. Norris said that wasn't true and sent Harry the cease and desist letter, and Harry responded by filing a bar complaint against Norris on February 7th. Harry wrote Norris was using the legal system as a threat and intimidation in his quest to silence his political foes. The bar ruled on February 28th that the allegations do not demonstrate professional misconduct or a disability. Norris said he has not yet received an apology from Harry and is considering taking further legal action against him. Diamond Homes plans March 24th celebration. A local business whose mission it is to provide quality, affordable homes to local families is finally getting a home of its own. Diamond Homes, which has been selling manufactured home and land packages since 2020, will have a grand opening March 24th to celebrate its new location at 7561 South U.S. Highway 385. The celebration will be from noon to 6 p.m. and will feature food and beverages as well as music. Since 2020, the manufactured home land sales firm has been displaying homes and officing out of a local trucking company located south of Odessa off South U.S. Highway 385. When we first started, we had three homes, and my husband said we could stay there at his trucking firm for 6 months, recalled Arlene Carrasco, CEO of Diamond Homes. Carrasco laughs when she recalls how the shared space arrangement could prove complicated at times, like when her business was moving homes on and off the lot while her husband's trucks were coming and going. Call it an interesting traffic jam of sorts. Now I have 15 homes there, and that's when my husband said, okay, that's enough. You need to buy your own property, she said. At the grand opening of our new location, we'll have 18 models ready to sell. It's a far cry for someone who, up until a few years ago, didn't even know much about either manufactured homes or whether it was even the right time to launch such a business. I have always loved land, Carrasco said. I could just sit and watch the land and I would think of all the things I could do with that land. I knew I wanted to be in real estate. I just didn't know what area of real estate I wanted to be involved in. So she started out just finding land to buy and then resell. At the time, I was just buying land, she recalled. I would drive around or cold call looking for land to buy and then flip. I started getting calls from manufactured home dealers asking about my land, and it made me curious. Carrasco said she had never known much about the manufactured home industry, so she decided to find out more and stopped by to visit with a dealer. She said the dealer did not have time for her, but a salesman took her aside as she was leaving. I just didn't want to sell manufactured homes. I wanted to control the whole process, she said, explaining she wanted to provide the land and infrastructure as well. She wanted to provide a home with a sense of permanency, not just some trailer that had to be moved from lot to lot. The salesman referred her to the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, which operates licensing for manufactured home retail brokers and installers. Carrasco said she Googled the department to find out more. Well, one thing led to another, and a few months later, March 2020, Carrasco was driving back to Odessa from San Antonio, having passed her state exam with a 96 and secured her manufactured home retail broker and installer's license. It was on the drive home when she received a call from her husband, telling her of shortages of toilet paper and the like at local stores, and so began the COVID pandemic, just as she was planning to start her new business. So I was scared, she recalled. I wondered if this was the right time to start a business. But she persisted, opening later that year in offices at her husband's trucking company at 143 East Blue Diamond Street. At the time, Carrasco's inventory of three homes was stored on the same lot as her husband's trucks, and she and her staff of six shared office space with her husband and his employees. Well, in spite of the pandemic, Carrasco's business grew. Since its first year, Diamond Homes sales have grown tenfold. Carrasco said what sets her business apart is that she offers manufactured home and land packages. She has secured tracts of land in the area and offers plots along with the homes with financing. It's just like buying a conventional home, complete with utilities and infrastructure in a new subdivision. But what is different is the price. Carrasco pointed out that manufactured home and land packages are very affordable. And the fact that the homes are sold along with the land means the homes appreciate in value, just like a conventional home, she said. Carrasco explained these homes tend to cost less per square footage than conventional homes because they are built in factories, where, due to economies of scale, manufacturers are able to produce between 6 and 8 units a day. This means businesses, such as Carrasco's, are targeting a critical niche for affordable housing in a Permian Basin market that has seen its challenges in recent years in offering homes in the lower price point range and enough of them. But she is quick to add that just because these homes cost less doesn't mean they are cheap. I get a lot of people knocking on walls, she said of potential clients who walk through one of her homes. It's sheetrock, just like in a regular home. These are built to state codes. These are homes, not trailers. Carrasco said Diamond Homes works with 7 different banks to arrange financing of their home land sales, loans that tend to be shorter in term than financing of conventional homes. Taxes are less as well, she added. All in all, Carrasco said, it is a way to achieve the dream of home ownership that is attracting more clients every day. Everyone from young, first-time homebuyers to people who never thought they would be able to own their own home. And that is why she loves what she does. Carrasco said it's not unusual for her to get emotional when turning over the keys to a new home, to a family. She recalls one case in which the woman told me, "I've changed her life." She said, "I'm able to say this is my home now." That's when I started crying. Now, as her business continues to grow, Carrasco smiles when she thinks about Diamond Homes moving into its new location. Now, my own business has its own home. Discover Odessa launches new Mural Trail Passport. Discover Odessa is launching its new Mural Trail Passport, allowing locals and visitors alike to explore all the vibrant murals popping up around town. The Trail Passport can be downloaded at discoverodessa.org/mural-trail. Participants can check in at the murals for a chance to win monthly prizes. Visitors and locals will be able to visit a dedicated mobile passport landing page where they can sign up by providing their name, email address, and mobile phone number. A link is then sent to their mobile phone, which opens the passport and directs the user to add the button icon to their home screen, where they can access it anytime. There is never anything to download and no app to take up space on the user's phone. We are excited about the rapid growth of the art scene here in Odessa. With so many vibrant and captivating new murals popping up all over town, Discover Odessa is proud to announce the launch of our latest offering, the Mural Trail Passport. This passport is a fantastic opportunity for both locals and visitors to immerse themselves in the beauty of our city's street art and discover new businesses they may not have encountered before. We want to express our heartfelt gratitude to our partners at Odessa Arts for their invaluable contributions to bringing these vibrant murals to our town. We can't wait for everyone to experience the magic of the Mural Trail, Monica Schauner, director of Discover Odessa, said in a news release. To celebrate the launch of the Mural Trail, Discover Odessa has created a Mural Trail Madness photo contest, giving participants a chance to win a grand prize. The contest ends on April 17, 2023. One winner will be chosen to win a $350 Visa gift card, a pair of Mural Fest preview party tickets, and a Discover Odessa goodie bag. The winner will be drawn on April 18, 2023. Here's how you can enter the contest. Visit the Mural Trail Madness Photo Contest giveaway page at discoverodessa.org/mural-trail. Click Enter Contest. Follow the instructions on the contest form, which are: download the Odessa Mural Trail Passport and check in at 5 murals. Upload your photo taken in front of your favorite mural. Earn extra entries by following Discover Odessa on Instagram and Twitter, and subscribe to the Discover Odessa Insider e-newsletter, 5 extra entries per task. Obituaries. John R. Thomas. John R. Thomas, born October 13, 1952, slipped the bonds of this earth on March 15, 2023. He was born in Washington, D.C. John was the only child of Anna Mae Taylor Thomas and Robert Wilbur Thomas. John leaves behind his wife of 37 years, Dolly, his daughter, Sarah Ruth Dawson, and his faithful yellow lab, Kate. A come-and-go in his honor will be held at Gunsport Limited, March 25th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. in Odessa, Texas. Maria Baeza. Maria Baeza, 83, of Odessa, died Friday, March 10th, 2023, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. on Monday, March 20th, at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Burial will follow at the Odessa 2 section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Conrado Sanchez Coffee Bastardo Jr. Conrado Sanchez Coffee Bastardo Jr., 81, of Odessa, died Saturday, March 11th, 2023, in Odessa. Memorial Service is scheduled for 2 p.m. on Saturday, March 25th, 2023, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Ricky Carrillo Jr. Ricky Carrillo Jr., 40, of Odessa, died Sunday, March 12, 2023, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m., March 23, 2023, at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Bessie Porter. Bessie Porter, 88, of Odessa, died Wednesday, March 15, 2023, in Tyler. Graveside service will be held at Rose Hill Cemetery on Tuesday, March 21, 2023. Visitation will be at Frank Wilson Funeral Home on Monday, March 20, 2023, from 4 to 7 o'clock p.m. Elna Marie Vanderberg. Elna Marie Vanderberg, 94, of Auburn, Georgia, died Monday, March 13, 2023, in Auburn. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday, March 22, 2023, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Public visitation will be held prior to the service from 9:30 to 10 a.m. Burial will follow the service at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hello, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American on Sunday, March 19th. GOP's Sweeping Energy Act unveiled. Pfluger's bill to prohibit methane charge changes. By Bob Campbell, Washington, D.C. Congressman August Pfluger wrote a bill that included the U.S. House Republicans' new Lower Energy Cost Act package to repeal the new methane fee set by the Biden administration Inflation Reduction Act. I'm incredibly proud that my bill, the Natural Gas Tax Repeal Act, to strike President Biden's new tax on oil and gas producers is a major component in the House of Representatives' energy package that we're bringing up for a vote in just a few weeks, Pfluger said Wednesday. I spent two decades in military, and I've seen the consequences of countries following the path of failed energy policies. If President Biden's administration continues to steer Americans' energy policy down these failed paths, everything crumbles, from the economic foundation to the social structure, and our national security is weakened in the process. The San Angelo Republican said the administration has doubled down on their false reality of an energy transition. But our region understands better than most that we are in an energy expansion, not a transition. Thankfully, House Republicans stand in the way of President Biden and his radical anti-energy agenda, said Pfluger, who represents Ector and Midland counties in the 11th Congressional District. The Republican energy package will make it easier for producers in the Permian Basin to supply our nation with affordable, reliable, and secure energy. We want to incentivize production here at home and restore American energy independence so we'll never rely on our adversaries for energy, Pfluger's bill would mix the fees for certain facilities that exceeded the EPA's methane emissions thresholds, which start next year, would be $900 per ton. In 2025, $1,200 per ton, and in each year thereafter, $1,500 per ton. Filed March 9th as House Resolution 1, the bill, the GOP's top priority for the 118th Congress, Speaker Kevin McCarthy said. It would also spend up to approval process for energy and drilling on federal lands, limit states' ability to block projects like pipelines, prohibit a ban on fracking, limit the president's authority to block cross-border project permits like the Keystone XL pipeline, remove restrictions on natural gas imports and exports, and repeal the parts of the Inflation Reduction Act that provide funding to address climate change and pollution. State Representative Brooks Landgraf commented on the bill along with Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners President Ed Longnecker, Texas Oil and Gas Association President Todd Staples, and Texas Alliance of Energy Production Petroleum Economist and Executive Vice President Carr Ingram. Landgraf said from Austin Wednesday that he was so thankful we have leaders in the U.S. House like Congressman Pfluger, who understands the importance of American oil and natural gas production and are willing to fight back against the coastal elites. Hopefully, This is a sign of more good things to come for Texas and every other place on earth where freedom reigns over tyranny. The Odessa Republican said, Texas oil and gas is not only the bedrock of our state's economy, it's a key to long-term U.S. national security interest. Our federal leaders are in my prayers, and I remain full of hope that they will ultimately do what is best for our nation, Landgraf said. In the meantime, I'm doing everything I can on the state level, including working to prevent unnecessary regulations as chairman of the House Environmental Regulations Committee and addressing the workforce and infrastructure needs of our majority energy production region sports with our Texas Strong Bill. Lon Necker said restricting federal government meddling is a must. In order to meet energy demands, we must get less red tape around critical energy infrastructure like pipelines and export terminals in a consistent, predictable regulatory environment that encourages investments in essential energy. Long Necker said Wednesday from Austin, federal policies should make it easier, not harder, to produce the energy we need to power our daily lives, and we look forward to a robust discussion focused on these priorities in the months ahead. Staples said policymaking can be helpful or hurtful. Policies can promote prosperity or it can hinder it, Staples said from Austin. After an onslaught of efforts focused on retraining domestic production, we appreciate the House's focus on lessening Americans' dependence on foreign production resources, encouraging increased domestic investment and production to create jobs here at home, grow our economy, and keep the United States the world's energy leader. Ingram said Biden's agenda is decidedly anti-turmoil and gas, especially U.S.-produced oil and gas. Taking many forms, public comments, executive orders, Democrat design legislature, regulation for EPA, and others, the agenda has been apparent since virtually the president's first day in office, Ingram said Wednesday from Amarillo. During that time, the Democratic control every branch, though the ties in the Senate mean they had a Koch Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and one of the two others along to get everything passed. This was finally accomplished with the vote of the gargantuan anti-oil and gas and anti-free market, never mind foolishly named Inflation Reduction Act. Ingram said American consumers would benefit greatly from the passage of the Lower Energy Cost Act, which Democratic Senator Majority Leader Charles Schumer of New York says he would oppose. The consumers would suffer under the weight of the energy mix that would heavily subsidize in favor of renewables and simply cannot do the job of supplying the U.S. economy with abundant, affordable, reliable energy on a substantial basis for decades to come, Ingram said. This broad package accomplishes much of that, and we are in support. We are also strongly support the bill Representative Pfluger has introduced to repeal the ill-conceived methane tax, which is an illogically designed and damage assessment of the U.S. oil and gas operations, other than would potentially shut down thousands of wells, lower U.S. domestic production for which foreign production products would likely fill the gap, and endanger small independent oil and gas companies by making their production uneconomic. Asked if H.R. 1 can pass the House, the Republicans have only 222 to 213-seat majority and Senate-controlled 51-59 by the Democrats, an economist said. Yes, there are incredibly unifying issues for the Republicans in Congress, and while only time will tell, we're very optimistic that these bills and packages will indeed pass the House. As you know, the problem then lies in the Senate, which is Democratic-controlled. Two of these Democrats are moderates, Manchin and Joe Tested of Montana, both of whom are up for re-election in 2024. So there's some potential pass forward for parts of the legislation and some of those issues. And then the problem becomes the White House veto, of course. But it is time to ease the issues for the American consuming public to help demonstrate the contempt and anti-fossil fuel Democrats seem to have for them and their economic well-being.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.